Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Always bringing you the best of the best when it comes to our guests. And today, I continue that trend with our guest, Sandra Riche. Sandra is the clinical director of the Montreal Center for Anxiety and Depression, the co-director of Empowered Women Workshops, co-director of Anxiety Videos, founder of Sandra Riche's Couples Retreat, as well as the host of a top weekly radio show, Straight Talk with Sandra Riche. She is also a best-selling author of the number one self-help book on relationships, Once Upon a Time, How Cinderella Grew Up and Became a Happy, Empowered Woman, and well-known as an expert on anxiety, relationships, family dynamics, and more. Sandra holds a master's degree in counseling psychology from McGill University. She received extensive training from the Cognitive Behavioral Therapy Clinic for Anxiety Disorders at the Montreal General Hospital. And you can listen to Sandra's radio show on our very own internet radio network, speakuptalkradio.com. And I'm looking forward to sharing her with you. So welcome to the show, Sandra.
Oh, Pat, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I'm excited as well. You and I are of like mind and like energy, yes. So we're going to have a good time here. Now, on occasion, I bring in a guest to talk not so much about healthcare hazards, but rather with a focus on how to stay healthy, happy, safe, and out of the hospital. And that always seems to begin and end with how we care for ourselves. So today, I would like to pick your brain on that side of self-care, if that's okay with you.
It would be my pleasure.
All right. Well, I think it's a given if you have bad relationships that can affect you in so many ways, including your health. So let's begin by talking about your book with this awesome title, How Cinderella Grew Up and Became a Happy, Empowered Woman. The book is an exploration of women's roles in relationships from a fairy tale perspective. Very interesting. And how that can set us up to fail in love. So share a little bit about that with us.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I mean, there's two levels of it. One is that we start off growing up watching fairy tales with the concept, one day my prince will come and everything will be okay. So we all grew up with those fairy tales. So I was in private practice and eventually opened a clinic, and I really had seen thousands of clients, and the majority of my clients are women, and they're like-minded women, much like myself and yourself, wonderful, smart, beautiful, incredible women, but tolerating horrible behavior in their relationships. And my friend and I, who used to get together, and we talk about these dynamics in relationships, including our own, and we try to analyze, why does this keep happening to women? And we did relate it back to childhood, these ideas that we're, you know, I'm nothing without a man, and so, you know, there's a small commodity, I've got to tolerate this because it's all bad anyways. And that's how women got themselves into trouble. So we wanted to teach women how to get themselves out of trouble, because strangely, men don't actually want women to tolerate all this. Men actually have great respect for women who respect themselves. And there is how the book got written. And interestingly enough, we wrote it as a small book. The day it came out, it became a bestseller the same day because so many women related to it.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. You know, we're all raised with that and it's almost ingrained in your psyche. And how do you get out of it? Because you don't even think about it.
Yeah, and the thing is that it's you don't even think about it. And as women, we grow up as caretakers. We're socialized to caretake. We take care of our children. We take care of our siblings, our friends, our family, it's normal. But the problem is that taking care of others does not lend itself to people taking care of you. And the secret wish of every caretaker is actually to be taken care of. So you fall in love and you start taking care of your partner and you think this is going to produce really good behavior in your partner. And actually, it's the exact opposite that will happen. You'll tend to be exploited and taken advantage of. So we have to learn a new way of still being kind, but not caretakers. As a recovering caretaker myself, you know, and I really do call it recovering because I don't think it's really something you can cure completely.
Exactly. Who are you caring for?
Well, I think that we just naturally care for others as women.
Okay.
And again, we learn at a young age. Women learn at a young age to take, to be considerate of other people's feelings and to put themselves at the bottom of the list. And men don't learn that. And we actually could really take a page from their book, because men take care of themselves first, and we're very angry at them for that. But actually, it is like the oxygen mask on an airplane. You are actually supposed to take care of your first. Oxygen mask on you first, then others. Instead of being so frustrated with men, maybe we need to learn to also take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So for me, yes, sometimes when I slip, I'm busy seeing clients, I'm busy taking care of my children, and I start to slip down. And actually, the quality of my work, whether professional or personally, will go down as well. Because self-care is at the top of the list, which you, with the work you do, I'm sure it's very relevant with the work hospital care as well. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I was just thinking of that as you were speaking. This is not just a relationship and caregiving toward a man in our life, but maybe our aging parents or some other family member. And so the advice is still valid, whether it's a spouse or a significant other or whomever. I was also thinking about that book title and wondering what you would have titled a book if you had written it for relationship advice for men.
Oh, that's such a brilliant question. My God, give me a second here.
You don't have to answer it today.
The challenge with men is that they try very much to work on a very analytical process. So what they need to do is to understand that women are wired to really, we just need to be listened to and be validated much more than we need to be fixed. So maybe the book would be called Don't Fix It.
There you go. You've got
I have to come up with something really fast.
You've got another project going there. Sandra, I think you have another book in the making.
Yeah, why not? Although, again, men are much better at this particular area than women are. Where men struggle is they're very alone sometimes with their emotions, and they don't, you know, really have that outlet. Women are much better at expressing their emotions and connecting with others.
That's true. I think we can all understand that. Let's continue with relationships for a bit, because that is a universal situation, because we're always in a relationship with someone, unless, of course, we live as a hermit. We have relationships at work, and we have personal relationships. Maybe give us some of the most common problem areas in each of those sides, and then give us some of your best tips or advice.
With pleasure. Well, you know, I think you're quite right. We're always in relationships. And you said something really brilliant at the beginning of the show, which is that relationships have a profound effect on our health. The research is unequivocal on that, is our health is affected by our relationships. So the first question has to be, what do we seek in relationships? What is it that, what's the golden nugget of relationships? And it really is connection. So you can spend a lot of time with someone and feel very alone. So it's not just being with someone, it's connecting. And I think that there's, you know, very famous researchers, including Dr. Sue Johnson, who's done a lot of work on attachment and understanding that in a relationship, what we're really looking for is, will you be there for me? Can I count on you? Will you catch me if I fall? And that's a very important piece of a relationship. So that has to be the non-negotiable part. And that really, I think, you know, to answer your question, can apply to any relationship, as you said, not only romantic, because if we're close friends, you and I, Pat, and I can't count on you, or we can't survive an argument, then what kind of relationship is that?
Right.
So safety comes, like, actually, one of the things I tend to say to people is a relationship is not a relationship if you can't survive a conflict. Meaning, if you and I become close friends and I'm a little upset with you, Pat, and I said, you look, that bothered me that you said this to me, and you say, well, then you're just too sensitive and I'm out of here. There's no safety, and we need safety, as opposed to, well, I don't understand why that bothered you, but please tell me more. And then we can talk about it and work through it. A lot of people are conflict avoiders, which is actually not good for relationships, strangely enough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go one step further. It's conflict avoidance in women in particular is repressed anger. And guess what? Repressed anger leads to anxiety, which is my other field of expertise. So they all tie in together. Is we've got to be able to express our emotions and feel safe in our relationships, be it with aging parents, romantically, friendship, and with our kids. And if I mention kids, I can't help but ramble on a little bit and say boundaries and consequences, another key part of relationships. There have to be limits in any relationship.
Thinking about boundaries, I don't have young kids anymore, but I've never really given much thought to boundaries. Let's just talk about that briefly. Yeah.
So it's such an important topic. So imagine, Pat, a world without stop signs or speed limits. What would that world feel like to us?
Well, exactly. It would be mayhem.
It would be mayhem. It's completely not workable. And yet, in our relationships, we don't put stop signs and we don't put speed limits. And it's particularly women, but sometimes men too, is that, and we feel maybe it's not nice to put a boundary. It's kind of like the policeman saying it's not nice to give you a ticket. Actually, we don't like to get tickets, but we're actually probably happy that there's policemen in the world so that the world stays a safe place. If we're in a relationship together and there are no boundaries because we're family and anything goes, the relationship is in complete dysfunction. There have to be limits. Relationships have to have boundaries and consequences. Kids need them. Aging parents need them. Romantic relationships need them. It's one of the biggest challenges that I see people have is they say, what's a boundary and what's a consequence?
Exactly.
And there are consequences for behavior. I mean, if you don't show up at work, you don't get paid.
Right. And I would think it's hard to set a boundary with someone unless you have some of your own self-esteem. So what is self-esteem and how can we own it?
Well, that's another, you really come up with great questions. That's another important piece of it, okay, is that self-esteem is your worthiness. You're worthy of love, dignity, respect, safety. And it is your birthright. I repeat, it is your birthright. You don't earn it. You don't lose it. You had it the moment you arrived on this earth. So you're worthy. And so if you're worthy of respect, dignity, love, safety, shelter, and all those things, if someone is disrespectful to you, even if it's an aging parent or a family member, that is just not okay. Mm-hmm. So people will say, but I'm family. It's I can talk to you any which way I want. Mm-hmm. No, that's not correct. So part of having good self-esteem is to remember that you're worthy and to remember, therefore, if something feels uncomfortable in your stomach, it probably is a boundary violation. Mm-hmm. And you need to be true to yourself on that. People are not going to like that. They're going to tell you you're too sensitive. But why is it you being too sensitive as opposed to them being insensitive? That's just the manipulation.
No, very true. So we talk about self-esteem and we all know what that means. I don't know that we all know what that feels like. And so how do we go about feeling good about ourselves? I mean, how do we get that? Where does it come from?
Well, I think we have to start again with the premise that I'm born worthy. So okay. If I'm born worthy and I can't lose it or gain it, meaning that if I make more money or look more beautiful, I did not become more worthy. Like my show this week on Straight Talk is on this social media phenomena. Like, for example, if I get 200 likes on my Facebook, I did not become more worthy. So we can't buy into the fact that worth can be earned. It's your birthright. It's a constant. So number one, that's one. Number two, we have to practice, especially if we didn't learn this from our parents, and many of us did not, we have to practice that our love for ourselves is unconditionally positive, meaning that if I have a good radio interview today, great. But if I have a bad radio interview today, I still can love myself and see myself as worthy. I can say the interview wasn't great, but I still have unconditional positive regard towards myself. Did I do the best I could? Yes, I did. Well, here's what I'm going to work on next time, and I'm okay. We really have to have an inner dialogue constantly about that because I grew up with European parents. European parents had very high standards. So there's a very strong critical voice in my head that says, oh, you got 20 things done today, you should have gotten 25, because that's how I was raised. So the self-esteem voice has to come in and say, whoa. You got a lot done, you did the best you could, and that's good enough.
Excellent. Thank you for that. I think that clears some of that up. Now, you work with anxiety and depression, and those two words seem like they go together, but do those two go hand in hand all of the time?
Not all the time, but they are cousins.
Okay.
Most people don't realize that depression is an anxiety disorder. A lot of people manifest with anxiety. We reduce the anxiety and the depression pops up. Again, think of a repression of emotions in a lot of cases that are most a flat state. So a flat state is a depressed state, depressed, or it can come out as anxiety. I like to think of anxiety as your body talking to you and trying to get your attention. There's something going on that you're not paying attention to. Now, yes, there's people who are predisposed to anxiety, but again, your body is trying to get your attention on something. Maybe you're secretly angry about something and you're one of those people who feels it's not nice to be angry. Well, we got to work on that anger. Anger is a very adaptive emotion. When you come out of your mother's belly, what's the first thing you're doing?
Mm-hmm.
Screaming.
Yeah, crying, exactly.
Yeah. So we need that anger to immunize ourselves against anxiety and depression. Often some people call depression anger turned inwards. So we need to look at that again to bring it full circle. We started on relationships about connection. We need connection. We need boundaries and consequences for connection. And we need safety for connection. And if we're not getting that, we're going to start having emotions in our body that are uncomfortable. We may push them down. Hello, anxiety or depression, if you're lucky. If you're not lucky, hello, disease.
Exactly. And probably substance abuse and that whole route. So as we're talking about anxiety and depression, give us some helpful tips to help alleviate this. And is it always necessary to go the drug route?
Oh, no. Okay, so that, again, very, very good question. I actually started a company called Anxiety Videos for this reason, so that people could learn the strategies, because they actually, anxiety always gets better when treated and always gets worse when not. So we actually started those videos so we could reach more people to give those strategies, but I'll certainly give some of the strategies right now to get people on the journey. So the first thing with anxiety, again, body's trying to talk to you. So we have to start very basically, and a lot of people, they want to do sophisticated, fancy strategies, but if you're not doing food, sleep, exercise right off the bat, I even train therapists and I say, if you don't teach your clients food, sleep, exercise, you're ripping them off. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to go the medication route, for example, first of all, you have to evaluate how serious your anxiety is. So start with your medical doctor, perhaps do an anxiety inventory, which you can easily find online to see how you're doing. If you're in severe anxiety, it's a bit like drowning, and it's hard to teach someone to swim when they're drowning. You may need to consider medication. But if you're anywhere from moderate all the way up to mild anxiety, you want to start by looking at food, sleep, exercise, breakfast. Are you eating in the morning? Breakfast is called breakfast because it's break the fast. Your brain is irritable after 8-9 hours of not having food. Are you setting yourself up to succeed or to fail? And very briefly, sleep is the same way. Your body desperately needs sleep to rejuvenate. Again, European parents, many of us were raised with the idea that sleep is, don't spend too much time, don't be lazy. It's not being lazy, it's fueling your body. And most importantly, Pat, if you're talking about not going on medication, cardiovascular exercise. And I know you're not going to feel like doing it when you're anxious or depressed, but if you don't want to go the medication route, you've got to get that in right away. A nice sweaty walk will do wonders for releasing adrenaline from your body.
Oh, see, that's great advice, and I've not heard that before. And I just know so many people that are just given meds right away, even young little kids in grade school. Oh, well, he's depressed, anxious, and everybody's just popping all this medication. Oh, there's got to be another way where you can look inward and really treat the cause and not the symptom.
Yeah, you're right, and it is quite disturbing. Again, there is a place for medication. I don't want to say there isn't, but it is disturbing that it's the first route that people go, and often what happens is they end up in the general practitioner's office, and the practitioner has very little time and just writes a prescription for medication. I think it's worthwhile to spend some time with a specialist, just to get really definitely speak to someone who specializes in these problems, because medication does not have to be the first order of business. And again, although there's a place for medication, if we haven't checked your health, your food, sleep, exercise, we're running a little too fast here. We've got to start making sure all of us need stress management techniques. I mean, this is a very stressful world we live in.
Absolutely. I love this. Food, sleep, exercise. So why not look to some of the simpler things that we can do for ourselves right off the bat and seek some counseling and work it that way? It makes sense to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's so important that you're getting that word out to people. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pat.
Well, thank you. So how can we go about living? And this is a million-dollar question. How can we go about living a purposeful and healthy life? Give us some ideas.
Okay, it is a million-dollar question, and it's very, very dear to me question, though. I mean, you know, my entire life and practice and videos and everything I do is related to try to teach people the tricks that I've learned in my own life, and I feel like I've lived on both sides. I feel like I went through many challenges in my own life before I understood what it is to live a purposeful life. So one thing is you have to watch is what's the story you tell yourself. So you may have had a very difficult life. Many people have. It's amazing the stories I hear. But you have a choice in what message you send your brain at every moment in the day. We know from researchers that it takes 90 seconds for an emotion to pass through the body, which means if someone did you wrong and you're angry 10 years later, that is your choice. So victimization is a choice, and that also is in the book. The book is made up of the three traps that women fall into, but really all people fall into, which are victimization, martyrdom, and caretaking. So victims have a very big sob story, and usually legitimate, but what they do is they keep repeating the story to themselves, which further invites more victimization into their life. And empowerment means that you have a choice in the direction your life goes. So you can turn your lemons into lemonade, so to speak. And I certainly feel that's what happened in my life. That's why I say I lived on both sides. Martyrs tend to be people who self-sacrifice. They're quite bitter people. I always say I've never met a happy martyr in my life. Mm-hmm. And caretakers tend to take care of others with the hope that someone will take care of them, which won't happen. Which comes back to our self-esteem question, is it not our job to have the primary love affair with ourselves? So that's one big tip on living a purposeful life. Another one we briefly talked about is boundaries and consequences. Be true to yourself. What are your boundaries? What are your limits? When has someone crossed the line? And I guess another one that's really important to me to get out today is just because other people get into the dirt doesn't mean you have to. If you get into the dirt, you just get dirty. Mm. And so I'm a big believer in being honorable and having integrity, doing the right thing.
Oh, you are so awesome. We need like a week show with you. This is too much good information. I love what
you're so sweet. I'm in.
When you said it takes 90 seconds for emotions to pass through the body, I did not know that. And if we could keep that in mind and think about it when something happens to us and think, all right, let me just stand here for 90 seconds. This should pass. And I don't need to be carrying this with me for the rest of my life. Yes. And also
have that pity party. And I've had many.
Yeah.
Have the pity party. And that's it. Then move on. So if you've been holding a grudge for 25 years and it's ruined your life, whoever you're saying has ruined your life didn't ruin your life. You ruined your life.
Exactly. What do they say? You allowed that person to pay rent in your brain or something? Rent your headspace. Speaking of your brain, though, the brain doesn't really know the difference between what is real and what you tell it.
No.
So we've got that option to really be in control somewhat.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got it, Pat. It's the story you tell yourself. What's the story? You tell your brain you're in Hawaii lying on a beach. The brain starts to relax, thinks it's having a good time. You tell your brain that life is horrible and it's been nothing but difficult. Your brain reacts exactly to that message. So you definitely have that. So that's really very, people have a big reaction when they realize that. Mm-hmm. They are really, really creating their own lives. We really create our lives.
We really do. We are in charge. We just don't realize it. Well, now, Sandra, is there anything else that you'd like to talk about that we didn't get to today?
Well, you know, First of all, I want to commend you, Pat, on the work you're doing. I think it's, you know, we met very serendipitously just a couple weeks ago, actually. And when I found out what you're doing, I just think it's so important and so valuable. And I really encourage people to follow you and to know what's out there. Because in a way, we're doing similar work. We're trying to empower people to have all the options and choices in their life. And I think that's why we get along so well, Pat, mm-hmm. you and I, is that choice is such a big part of life. And getting information out is what I live for. And I don't believe that people have to follow one way of life. So you can live whichever life you want. But I think information is power. And I think to have the information. So if you're struggling with boundaries, boundaries and consequences, it is really something we're not taught. You need to learn. The medical field and the psychology field are coming together, and we need to get that information out. So I think you're doing an amazing job getting that out to your listeners, and I really commend you for that.
Well, I appreciate your saying that, and I have great help with folks like you. And as you were talking about guilt, I'm thinking we need to do another show. There's just way too much to talk about. Your website, it's Sandra Reich, R-E-I-C-H, Help for Anxiety Depression. Get her book, Once Upon a Time, How Cinderella Grew Up and Became a Happy, Empowered Woman. Sandra, I can't thank you enough for today. You are awesome, and I just love having you on the show. Thank you.
Oh, I love being on it. I'd love to come back. It's a delight to talk with you, Pat.
You're welcome anytime.
Thank you very much.
After the show, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com for more life-saving information. Plus, that is where you can purchase my book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide. Bring the book to the hospital with you. It's the best way to stand out and in a positive way. Give the gift of healthcare safety. Purchase the book, The Patient Safety Logs. Hey, and throw in some icebreaker cards. It's a one-size-fits-all present that everyone needs. You can order online at speakupandstayalive.com or call me 440-725-5462.
Tired of the same old presentations?
Can you forward to slide 38, please?
Are you looking for a new, out-of-the-box topic for your next event?
Want your group to leave inspired, informed, and satisfied?
No PowerPoint presentations and dim lights here. No snoring or snoozing goes on during Pat's presentations. To help your entire group, organization, business, or church stay safe during any healthcare or hospital experience, invite Pat to speak. Visit her website, speakupandstayalive.com, or call Pat to discuss how she can make your next event fun, enlightening, and life-saving.
Want testimonials?
Go to the bulletin board link at the website for color pictures and comments from real people. Again, it's speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462.
Hi, this is Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast, where we hear from the healthcare system's hidden workforce, the millions of family caregivers whose stories of devotion and courage will shock and inspire you. Join me as we shake up the conversation on care, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode every week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. That's AgeWYZ.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our guests from all over the world will give you plenty of things to think about. Please visit my website at mrsgreensworld.com and become a part of our world.
Well, there you have it, my friends. Another show goes by so quickly, doesn't it? But don't worry, we'll be back next week with more to talk about. Meantime, be sure to visit the website speakupandstayalive.com. Speakupandstayalive.com. It's where you can get a copy of the book, Speak Up and Stay Alive, The Patient Advocate Hospital Survival Guide, a book that so many of us need, whether we are in the hospital, visiting a friend in the hospital, have a loved one in the hospital. And I always tell folks, you don't even have to read the book. Just from the cover alone, we'll start a conversation if you simply lay the book on the tray table. Everyone who comes in the room will stop and say, "What is that?" It offers you the opportunity to start a conversation with everyone who walks in the room, and then they will know that you are different from everyone else, that you are an e-patient, educated, enlightened, equipped, and eager to get out alive. It's only $20 at the website, speakupandstayalive.com. And while you're there, check out the other links on the page, such as the speaking page, and invite me to speak to your group, club, business, church, organization, or even hospital. And if you know me, you know I always have so much to talk about. No one falls asleep on my watch during any of my speaking presentations. So give me a call, 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. I can guarantee you this, your crowd will love it. No more time, but remember, I will be back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Are you in the market to purchase a home? Are you thinking of selling yours? Well, I've personally worked with the McCaskey team. They're conveniently located on Chardon Square. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. 440-773-5542. Ask for my friends Dan or Terry, or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com. Hi, I'm Pat Rulo, author, speaker, and radio host of Speak Up Talk Radio. I'm local and vocal when it comes to healthcare safety. If you need a life-changing topic and speaker for your next event, call me, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com. Patient safety is your right, so don't go wrong. Let me share what I know with your group, 440-725-5462, or visit speakupandstayalive.com.